Well, I'm going to start again from the top. So let's start by making sure that everybody can hear me. So this is Larry Walsh speaking. I'm coming to you from Plattsmouth today. Chief Judge Frankie Moore, are you there from North Platte?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Judge Francie Reedman, are you there from Gretna?
Yes, I am.
Okay, counsel for the state, can you hear us?
Yes, Judge, I can hear you.
Okay, and counsel for Mr. Nagel, can you now hear us?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks for your patience this morning as we try and work through these. So this is the matter of State versus Nagel, case number 19-4624. I don't know if you could hear me earlier. It sounds like we're not live streaming this, counsel. However, these will be archived, and therefore, if there's any sensitive information, confidential information, be cognizant of that today during the course of your oral arguments. And without further ado, I think now, we should get started here. So counsel for the state, would you please introduce yourself and let's begin.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Faith Kelstrip. I represent the appellant in this matter, the state of Nebraska. I am a deputy Douglas County attorney. You all can't handle this one-on-one. That was Dakota Nagel's response after he fired 3 to 4 shots unprovoked at Omaha police detectives in a vehicle that was following behind the car that he was located in. Your Honor, we're here today because I'm asking the court to find that the district court abused its discretion, and I'm asking the court to reverse and remand this case back to the district court for further proceedings. Your Honor, under Nebraska Revised Statute 2-76 requires the trial court to consider all of the evidence as well as the factors outlined in that statute when conducting a motion to transfer hearing. After considering all of the evidence, a court shall transfer the case unless a sound basis exists for retention in the district court. The state has the burden to prove that a sound basis exists. And I believe today that the state did show that a sound basis exists and that Judge Polk had used his discretion when he granted the defense's motion to transfer the case back to juvenile court.
Counsel, what was the sound basis?
Your Honor, the sound basis of the matter under 43-276, there's a numerous factors that are outlined within that statute. The state believes that almost all of those factors weighed in favor of retention in the district court outside of transferring to the district court. And when determining that, the balancing test is employed. You have to weigh the public protection and societal security weighed against practical and non-problematic rehabilitation. Your Honor, this is a case that comes down to time, and there is not enough time to engage in the non-problematical and practical rehabilitation of this juvenile. It's important in this case to understand the timeline. On November 12, 2019, this is when Dakota Nagel had fired 3 to 4 unprovoked shots at 2 Omaha police detectives in a vehicle following behind him. On November 10th, Your Honor, the district court held the motion to transfer hearing, and they ordered that proposed orders were to be submitted the following Tuesday, which was on February 18th. Now, it's important to understand that the appellee's birth date was on February 25th, 2020, and that was his 18th birthday. Judge Polk did not issue his order until 2 days after the appellee's 18th birthday on February 27th. Now, this is important because when Brent Jansen, the probation officer for Dakota Nagel, testified, he said that if this case was transferred to the juvenile court, he would be recommending that group home applications take place and YRTC as a last option. Now, there was discussion on the record about group homes in Nebraska, but it was unlikely that Dakota Nagel would be accepted in a group home in Nebraska because of the violent nature of the offenses. So that effectively left an out-of-state group home, Canyon State. Now, Mr. Jansen's testimony was that typically group homes do not accept juveniles or people after their 18th birthday. He said that he has had...
Excuse me, counsel, that was in Nebraska, though, right?
Judge, I believe that applied to everything. He had talked about how group homes in Nebraska, and that he had only worked with Canyon State as a group home that was out of the state of Nebraska. His testimony was that typically group homes won't accept a juvenile after the 18th birthday. Now, Mr. Jansen also said that he had placed juveniles days prior to their 18th birthday and that it was difficult. He also explained that he had a case in which it took 3 weeks from the time that group home applications were ordered until the interstate compact was done, and then the juvenile was transferred to the group home. He said typically it takes anywhere from a month to 6 weeks usually. Now, Your Honor, that was probation's recommendation for the court if this case was to transfer to juvenile court. Now, Judge Polk essentially issuing the order transferring the case to juvenile court 2 days after the juvenile's birthday effectively renders all of the rehabilitation that was going to be recommended by probation moot.
Was YRTC still an option?
Your Honor, YRTC is an option. YRTC is a last resort, though, Your Honor. That means that group home applications typically need to take place first, and if there's no group home acceptance, then YRTC is an option. Now, YRTC, Mr. Jansen testified, is typically designed to be placed or completed within a year. So that leads to another discussion about time. This case was transferred with less than a year time to complete it. The juvenile court loses jurisdiction when the juvenile turns 19.
Wait, so was the testimony YRTC treatment within a year?
It's designed to be completed within a year, but the testimony was it's up to the juvenile to work through that program. Now, if the juvenile...
What was the evidence as to the type of treatment that he would need and the fact that it could not be completed within the time frame that he would be at the YRTC?
Your Honor, well, if the YRTC is designed to be completed by a year, it's up to the juvenile. Now, if the juvenile chooses not to engage in the program at YRTC, the testimony was that a motion to revoke probation would be filed, and that would start another process where the continued dispo would open back up, and the court would reassess what they could do to help the juvenile.
And that's assuming that Mr. Nagel would not cooperate, right?
That's assuming that Mr. Nagel would not cooperate, Your Honor. And I'd like to note for the court that Mr. Nagel, while he does not have a lengthy criminal history in his predisposition investigation or PDI, it was noted that he had completed a juvenile diversion program in which he had access to a diversion officer, a therapist, a psychiatrist, and home program staff. He did, by his admission, complete that program, which then led to him picking up some new charges that led to his open juvenile case docket. I believe that's JV 19-971. And within that docket, Your Honors, he was charged with a felony. I believe it was theft by receiving or theft by unlawful taking over $5,000, where he was found in a stolen vehicle. When law enforcement had contact with him, law enforcement stated that he kind of postured and acted as though he was going to fight law enforcement. And then he was using racial slurs directed at the officers. Now, Judge, as a part of the plea agreement, the state dismissed the felony and he pled to the two misdemeanor charges. As part of the order, Judge Daniel ordered the juvenile to complete a letter of apology to the law enforcement officers for the racial slurs that he was using. The PDI indicated that Mr. Nagel was becoming increasingly agitated with that task and was having a hard time completing that.
Counsel, though, is there any evidence that this young man has received any rehabilitative services through the juvenile court at this point?
Your Honor, outside of the diversion that he completed, that is outside of the juvenile court system, but it is a diversion program. His juvenile court case opened up in August. He did, but he was adjudicated. He pled to those two misdemeanor charges, or admitted to those two misdemeanor charges, excuse me. He was on a probation contract and he had a GPS tracking device. There was various evaluations ordered by Judge Daniels that we were waiting the results of in January, I believe was his continued disposition. So while he was on that probation contract as well as wearing the GPS monitors when he picked up these new charges that's before the court today, I believe part of the record in exhibit number one, there was mentioned that the GPS monitor data was... there was a search warrant obtained and they obtained the data for the GPS monitor. So he was under the supervision of the juvenile court, although he was not receiving the typical services that were offered by juvenile court. They were waiting until January for that continued dispo stage in order to order the chemical dependency evaluation, the outpatient treatment, the psychiatric testing, as well as IQ testing. Those kinds of things hadn't been completed yet.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I'm going to interrupt you for a sec because I'm going to ask this of both parties. So this is where I struggle with this. I understand what the district court's saying here. It, you know, if if he may be up from 20 years to minimum or up to 240 years here as it relates to what he's been charged.
Yes.
So the district court believed that he was, to use his words, Mr. Jansen testified rehabilitative services in juvenile court have not been exhausted and could be implemented regardless of age. So he says he hasn't had a chance to be rehabilitated yet. Look what he's up against if we don't get a chance to rehabilitate him. And the rub here is now we have 7 months left here as it relates to rehabilitative services. And to me, it's unclear in this record if maybe he can go to Canyon State and get those rehabilitative services, and maybe he ends up in Kearney. What do we know about as to either of those options? What can be accomplished in 7 months in relation to that?
Your Honor, I don't have specifics about what can be accomplished. It's usually individualized to each juvenile about what services they will receive. I will note that this court recently in State versus ESAP, they noted that the trial court in balancing must balance a juvenile's amenability to complete rehabilitation by 18 against the public safety in the event that rehabilitation fails or requires more time than anticipated. The state believes that there would be more rehabilitation cannot occur in the time allotted, and that public safety is at grave danger. I would ask that this court reverse and remand this case back to the district court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Misek?
Yes, Your Honor. I can't see the time, so can you just let me know when it starts?
Ellie, I would ask you to do that if you would, please.
Yes. Okay, perfect. May it please the court. My name is Lauren Misek, and I am a public defender and the attorney to the appellee, Mr. Nagel, in Douglas County. Today's case is about three things. First of all, the state's failure to meet its burden in creating a sound basis for a retention of the case in district court, precedent of this court when reviewing a case for abuse of discretion, and also the fact that the lower court did have a sound basis and had appropriate evidence that it relied upon to support the transfer. For that reason, we're asking that Dakota Nagel be able to be transferred to juvenile court in his remaining 7 months and be availed of all the rehabilitative services. In regards to the burden that the state has, the state's burden is completely on them to decide or to show that the case should be retained in district court. In this instance, for Mr. Nagel's case, the state only provided police reports and conducted a cross-examination. Now, judges, you had asked the state several times, what was the sound basis? What evidence did they provide that he could not have been rehabilitated? The state wants you to rely on the fact that this was a crime of violence and that there is no time yet to rehabilitate him. However, no evidence presented by themselves was given in that case. Now, the state had also...
Well, counsel, don't the police reports show a crime of violence?
I'm sorry, can you state that once more?
Don't reports show a crime of violence? Isn't that evidence?
That is evidence, Your Honor. The police reports do demonstrate that there was a crime of violence involved. However, when you're looking at the precedent that this court has examined other transfers by, that is only one of the 15 factors that is under the statute.
So, but Ms. Misek, it's also a little bothersome that at the time he was apprehended, he already had a monitoring bracelet. He had already been in trouble. He had already started the process through the juvenile court.
Your Honor, I actually would re-clarify the facts on that. At the time, he was adjudicated in August of 2019. However, unlike the state said, it's false that he was placed under a probation contract. He did not receive a probation contract until he was in disposition as January 27, 2019. He did have a GPS monitor as he was on the home program at that time. So any rehabilitative services or any other oversight of probation did not exist at that time. When he picked up these new charges.
So let me go back to that question that I ended with. I mean, you understand that the court's obligation here is to balance the public protection against the practical and non-problematic rehabilitation. And so on the public protection side, we have a violent crime. He shot at police. He He was on probation at the point in time that he did that. This 18-year-old who will time out of this system in 7 months, right? We have to balance that. So as it relates to practical and non-problematic rehabilitation, I get that rehabilitative services haven't been implemented, as the court said, but in 7 months, if we're doing that balancing analysis, how do we look at that? How do we say, yes, he can be rehabilitated, he'll be safe, you know, to the public as it relates to that? What would you say to that?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that when you look at not only the lower court order and we're looking at that sound basis, I think you have to look at not only the maturity, but also the other evidence that was presented. When you look at the chemical dependency evaluation done by Dr. Zuha and also the IDI and the neglect case that was provided as evidence under this case, you can demonstrate, and the court does highly rely on this, that Mr. Nagel needs further evaluations in terms of his capacity, references IQ testing, that he hasn't had yet that further therapeutic rehabilitative services. He never had a licensed therapist provide any type of therapy to him. When we're looking at him potentially probably only being able to go to Kearney, Kearney can provide all of those services to him and also curb his behavior and attitude. When you're looking at whether or not he had escalated in terms of serious crimes of violence, and when you're looking at the precedent of this court in State v. Comer, in State v. Hill, in State v. Issei Penalis, in all of those cases, and including State v. Bravo that was just came out 2 days ago, in all of those cases, the court really looked at the fact that the criminal violence had escalated over a period of time of being in juvenile court. You cannot say the same for Mr. Nagel in the sense that there's not a, a litany of evidence that demonstrates that there was several instances that led him to that place. In addition, even in Issei Penalis, the state called a police officer on in regards to meeting their burden, and that police officer had several contacts with Issei. Here, aside from the police reports that demonstrate a violent act, there's no other information provided by the state to demonstrate that his mental capacity, and as Dr. Connolly's deposition states, that he was even to the ability or had the brain development to get to that place where he wasn't impulsive. That also is included in the record that he had ADHD, that he had impulsive behavior, and this really speaks to the motivation for his crime. Was it impulsive, or that it was impulsive instead of actually thought out and planned out?
Let me interrupt you for a second. Are you telling me that this young man who was on probation as it relates to theft, that a subsequent act of shooting at the police is not escalation?
Your Honor, I do believe that that's escalation, but I think when you're looking, comparing it to the previous cases that this court has decided to either retain or to transfer, as in State v. Tyler, for instance, this court has looked at the amount of instances instead of the type of instances that it has examined. The same happened with Issei, saying that he had several violent actions, that he had been availed of several other rehabilitative services that were provided to him. Your Honor, in State v. Tyler, in that instance, however, I would also compare the fact that Mr. Nagel, similar to in State v. Tyler, he was able to be transferred to juvenile court at the age of 17, despite the violent act, because of that neurocognitive disorder that he was then diagnosed with. I think that there is comparable evidence in this case that Mr. Nagel also has those issues, and similar to State v. Tyler, has not been availed of those rehabilitative services.
So I understand what you're saying as it relates to having not been availed of rehabilitative services, but what do you do with our concern about, we have 7 months with, it sounds like Kearney is being the option. I don't even know how long it would take from now to then to even, he times out at age 19, right? So. How do we deal with that as it relates to rehabilitative services, whether they've been implemented yet or not?
Your Honor, when you're looking at time, I think that we have to rely on the programs that our state has provided. And Kearney is a sufficient program that I have many clients go through. Throughout that program, I've had clients that have completed it within a year. I've had clients complete it within 6 months. In some elements, it is true what the state has stated that it is in some ways up to the juvenile. However, there's no evidence that's presented that Mr. Nagel isn't wanting to be availed of those services. When he gets to Kearney, not only will he get therapy, will he get those behavior modifications, but it is possible for him to complete within that 7 month period.
Is there evidence in the record to that effect that he could accomplish his evaluations and begin therapy and complete it before his 19th birthday?
Your Honor, I do not believe that it's specifically outlined in the record. I do know that Mr. Jansen speaks to the fact that he's had individuals complete that program or go through Kearney and be successfully rehabilitated, but it doesn't exactly answer your specific question.
In regards to the research that you had mentioned, even if the juvenile court has jurisdiction over him until age 19, the research is showing that that impulsiveness and that brain development really doesn't happen until the early to mid 20s, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So how does that vote in favor of juvenile court when by the time he ages out, he still won't have that brain development?
I think that when you are looking at brain development and then you also look at the article that was provided as part of the record, the OJJ, which is that rehabilitative services that can be provided to children, when you are looking at not only their brain development, but it being completely unaffected or being given any form of rehabilitative services, you aren't curbing that impulsivity. You aren't giving them coping strategies to be able to focus. If he goes into incarceration, it then is only going to be fight or flight, as Dr. Conley states in her deposition. It's only going to be that impulsiveness. It's not going to be curbed. It's as if the state has given up and has not even tried to attempt to not only rehabilitate him, but say that he's kind of worthless until he turns to that point. I don't think that it is necessarily negative. I think that we have to intervene, and that's the purpose of juvenile court and the ability that juvenile court has versus a district court case. There's no other diversion programs where the state didn't offer that there's other diversion programs or other programs in district court that can meet that need for Mr. Nagel. That wasn't provided by the state, and again, that's why they did not meet their burden.
The time is up.
Oh, thank you so much. And please, I would ask that the court transfer the case to juvenile court and find that the court did not abuse its discretion. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, counsel. And how far did she go over, Ellen?
1 minute and 2 seconds.
Okay. Does the state have any rebuttal? You have 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Yes, Your Honor. I would argue to the courts that in regards to the 7 months that are left to rehabilitate, that is not enough time. This court's concern in ESIA was the complete rehabilitation by 19 against the public safety in the event that rehabilitation fails. You know, I don't believe there's sufficient time in order to accomplish complete rehabilitation. And we have an individual who was on probation, who had possession of a gun as a minor and shot at police officers. Judge, there's nothing that precludes the district court, statutory or otherwise, that would prohibit them from fashioning a probation or a sentence that would include some of those services that the juvenile court could offer. Your Honor, I would note that just for the record that there was extreme violence in this case, that he requires detention past the age of 19 because there's only 7 months left. I'd also notice that the motivation for the offense was an escalation towards an attitude towards law enforcement. Your Honor, I would note that he was calling officers racial slurs. He then shot at officers, and after he was apprehended, he said that was at the gang unit and you all can't handle this one-on-one. His attitude clearly is an escalation, and I'd ask the court find that the district court abused its discretion and transfer the and reverse and remand this case back to district court. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation today, both counsel, and working through our little technical defects here today, but obviously this is a very important subject matter, so thank you for your time. That would conclude today's session.
Thank you, judges.
Have a good day. Thank you so much, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you both.